afternoon, we're faced with a question, an important question. An important question because the danger that exists around us and the danger that exists within us. And the question is this: will your faith endure? Will your faith endure? And this is an important question because there's a danger that we have in deceit. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And yet the Lord knows it. The Lord says, I know your heart. I know what's going on in your soul. I know who you are, and I know what I have done for you. Jesus teaches us some very frightening words. Frightening words that are found in Matthew 7, that those who have done great works in his name, there comes a time in which they have deceived themselves. They haven't done them out of faith. They've done them for their own well-being. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, that can be very unsettling. How can we be sure? Coupled to this are questions of doubt. So many fall away. Maybe you have this in your own family, maybe your own children, grandchildren. They've wandered away. They've abandoned the Lord. You hear the parable of the sower and the four soils, and there's indeed only one place where the seed grows. It is in the good soil. There's some that falls on the rocky ground, and they spring up with joy, but there's no deep root. They don't persevere. Or the weedy soil, the cares and the concerns of this world choke out the fruit. Our doubts arise. Will my faith last? Can I stand the test if I'm so called to do? Can I go the distance? The historical context behind what the canons of Dort are getting at is that there were some who were teaching in the church at that time, no, you can't. You can't be sure. So you better be sure every day that you again renew yourself in repentance and faith and live in obedience to God, because you are the only hope. And you constantly propping up this faith in your life is the only hope you have of enduring to the end. If you want it enough, if you change enough, you can have it. Well, the canons are directing us to the teaching of God's word and says, hold on a minute. They help us this afternoon navigate the dangers of deceit, the dangers of doubt, and the dangers of error. By knowing the truth of the perseverance of the faith. It's that confidence that the author of Jude has, that even as he writes that there's going to come those who fall away. In the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But, he says, you beloved, you, people of God, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord. And then he concludes with this beautiful doxology. It's not just about how you keep yourself. Now look to the God who has promised to keep you, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Ultimately, we need to recognize the answer comes from God, from the teaching of his word and the promises that he gives to us. But as we approach this, we're going to first of all consider, can you be sure? Is there a certainty that you can have? And yes, indeed, there is. Scripture reminds us of this. And then how can you be sure? And lastly, yet you will have a constant struggle. First of all, can you be sure? This is not a superficial question. It comes from an accurate assessment of your present weakness. If your certainty is that today I have enough faith to help me go the distance, that is not the perseverance of the faith. That is not the perseverance of the saints. This awareness comes from the realization already that we've addressed that left to our own strength, we would utterly and finally fall away. If my weakness is in focus, then I can be sure that my walk with the Lord will be derailed. But this is why this is so important. The believers themselves can be certain. This isn't to throw us into the depths of doubt or to be overly concerned with our deceitfulness, but to evaluate and examine our hearts, to look at our lives and consider what is it that we hold on to, or actually who is it that holds on to us? Do we believe that God holds on to us so strongly, so significantly that when we walk in fellowship with Him, He won't abandon us? This is more than a question about where you are today. It's a question about tomorrow. It's a question about next week, next year, for the next generation. Can we be sure that the church will survive? Can we be sure when the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour? When we recognize our own inclinations, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. What do? We don't throw up our arms in doubt. We say, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, glorious truth that God's word gives, glorious certainty that we can find. We don't need to be cast into the depths of doubt and despair, supposing, like the Arminian, that, well, God loves me, God doesn't love me, I'll never know. No, you can be sure. You can be sure. And the canons remind us of this, because this is what Scripture teaches again and again and again, that salvation from first to last, from beginning to end, is the work of God. And it will be concluded by the work of God. And this certainty, the canons remind us, they indeed are certain according to the measure of their faith, by which they firmly believe that they are and always will remain true and living members. This measure of faith is not a quantity. It's not if you have enough faith. But it's calling us to recognize this measure of faith is the maturity of faith. It's the growing of faith. Think of it like a tree that's planted. It's just a small seedling, just a sapling, and it seems so tender and delicate. If you step on it, you can crush it. But the Lord has said, that's the character of my work. And He's promised that seed, I'm going to water. I'm going to fertilize. I'm going to nurture. I'm going to provide it with sunshine. And it's going to grow. It will first be a sapling. And then eventually it'll grow in a strong tree. But then the question, is that tree going to stand? If you take the whole forest away, will that tree stay standing? And God says, to be sure it will. It will stand not because it is so strong, but because its growth and its maturity has arisen because I am working. Because I will accomplish it. Because you, as a believer, can be assured that where you've come to faith and you realize your coming to faith is a result of my handiwork in your life, I won't abandon you. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you to your own devices or to the devices of others. I will cause you to grow. And that leads us, secondly, to the source. How can you be sure? How does faith mature so that it can endure to the end? The canons are very helpful here, very contemporary as well, as they address various errors that existed in their time and exist in our time. It's not from a special revelation, not from some special insight or a special vision or a dream, not a special feeling, not a special experience. Those were all Arminian answers that were circulating at that time. They had the Anabaptists roaming around suggesting that they would bring the kingdom of God if you would just throw in your lot with them. But the canons of Dort Common, the reformers all said, no, listen to God's word. It's not through some extraordinary means. It's actually simply from listening to and understanding and clinging to what God has said in His Word, not by private revelation, but by this inspired and scripturated revelation, by the Word of God, by faith in His promises, in the certainty of the work of Jesus Christ. You are assured, the canons say, in these three ways, that faith in God's promises, that what He's abundantly revealed in His Word for our comfort will hold true. Remember Abraham and Sarah, it's so relevant for our understanding of the perseverance of faith, that what God began by grace, He completes by grace. And Abraham and Sarah, they struggled. They couldn't imagine that, but God says, no, I'm going to do it. And you're going to see, when you're as good as dead, you're going to see that I will bring life. And when we begin to understand how this maturity of faith that clings to God grows, again, we see that it wasn't the first thing that Abraham had to do to sacrifice Isaac. It was one of the last things he needed to do. So sure could he be in that work of grace. So it comes from the promises of God's Word. This is what God unfolds to Israel in Isaiah 43 as they're preparing for exile. They're thinking because of their own sinfulness and their own disobedience, they're going to be cut off forever. And God says, no, I promise, though you are cut off for 70 years, I will restore you. I will bring you back to myself. You will be my witnesses that my work of grace cannot be extinguished because I have chosen Israel as my people. You can be assured that my promises will never wear out or grow old, that you can't remove yourselves from them. Oh, the promises of God's Word. How do you grow in the certainty of God's work? You listen to His Word. But secondly, there's another instrument. It's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the Holy Spirit witnessing with our spirit that we are children of God and heirs, that we've received the adoption. What does this testimony of the Holy Spirit in our lives look like? That you want what the Father gives. You look to the Father and you look to Him as a child, as every child should look to their father and ask that He give them what they stand in need of, to honor and glorify His name, to serve and walk in fellowship with Him. And bear that family resemblance. And finally, by the serious and holy pursuit of a clear conscience and of good works. Where does that clear conscience come from? It comes from the work of Jesus Christ. One of the constant questions that we need to recognize as believers, as Christians, of what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. So that when we stand before God and we stand at the entrance gates of heaven and He says, why should I allow you in? We know what we have to say. We're assured of what we have to say. What we have to say is because Christ has borne all my sins upon the cross. That certainty of our righteousness, the certainty that God's penalty for sin has been fully and finally borne completely by Jesus Christ upon the cross. So that our righteousness with God is as sure today as it will be in the presence of God in heaven, is found in Jesus Christ. God says, where you cling to Christ, where you are united to Him by faith, don't fear. Don't doubt. Don't be deceived. Be assured of what I will do. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt. And the flame shall not consume you. Why? Verse 5, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. This is the beauty of the Christian life. as God reveals his power and his willingness, his delight, his design to save and deliver. And yet, we know the story. The struggle with Israel is they refused to commit. They wouldn't yield. They thought God was untrustworthy. They thought God was their servant and they were the master. And so there continues a constant struggle to yield up ourselves and to willingly follow what God has promised, even when it looks like we will be destroyed. And in this way, we learn this morning that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. When we go through the waters, when we walk through the rivers, when the fire is near and the feeling is hot, God says, you will see again and again and again that I am with you. And in this way, he matures our faith. Not that we ever arrive, but we always learn to hold on to him. And that's a constant struggle. It's a bit like a driver learning to drive. We've had that now. I have to think, 4 children. The 5th is on her way. She's going to turn 16 this year, and I have to teach her how to drive again. And you know what it's like? I remember what it was like when I learned how to drive. You sit behind the wheel, and you're sweating because you have to remember so many things as you're hurtling down the road. And it's overwhelming trying to think of everything that you have to pay attention to. Trying to keep everything coordinated, especially if you're driving a manual. And you try and you hear these promises of God and you think of everything that's going on in your life and it's overwhelming. And oh, the wonder of the witness of seasoned saints who come to us and remind us we've been through it. Look to the Lord and trust him. He'll bring you through this. Because there comes a time, those who are learning to drive, when you will become so mature in your driving, you'll relax. And you'll be tempted to start texting because you think you're so far in control. Don't do it. That's not the way to persevere. That's the way of destruction. Don't become so comfortable, so complacent, so relaxed, so confident in your own ability that you think you can preserve yourself. There remains a constant need, a constant struggle for your attention. There will be carnal doubts, doubts of the flesh. We will be placed in severe temptation so that we don't feel like we've arrived or that we can be even sure that we will survive. But God the Father comes and he reminds us again and he assures us of my grace, which is sufficient for you. The Father of all comfort will not let them be tempted beyond their strength. He knows precisely where our breaking point is. And it might feel like he's going to destroy us, but be assured he loves you as a son, and his design is not to hurt you. And as we conclude this afternoon, I think this is the beauty and the significance of the place for worship. A place for God to come and speak to us. A place where he has promised the Spirit is operating and functioning in such a way that when we hear the gospel preached, we're assured of our salvation And this worship is vital for our endurance because we're meeting together with God's family who bear His resemblance. We're here in His household. This is why it's such a delight this afternoon to hear Ella's reaffirmation of faith, because we see here it is that God is working with His gospel to strengthen our souls so that we grow up as mature trees to stand, not because we're so strong, but to stand because we're planted in the soil that the Father has prepared for us, and to hear the Father speak to us. That for all that we see in this world, for all that we're going through, for all that we're experiencing, there's a deeper, more profound, more real, more certain truth that the Father is in control. Don't have a faith that's distracted and destroyed by the headlines of the newspaper, but that listens and loves God's word and finds its surety and its certainty in the promised work of the Holy Spirit, who will again sustain, revive, provide, and strengthen. Grow in this grace. The grace of His Word. Feed your soul upon the Word of life. And where you are being nurtured by Him through that, you shall prevail to the end and beyond. Amen.